Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, for the past several weeks, we've worked very hard to give people some very practical, biblical, kind of in-the-trenches information and solutions to help them make it through our current economic turbulence.
Well, Dave, we've talked a lot about defensive strategies, things like saving money, protecting your assets, cutting back, all those things that are really in the defensive mode. And I certainly encourage everybody who needs to be in the defensive mode to stay there.
Sure.
To not give up no matter what the markets do. You know, there's kind of a interesting lens to look at this through. One is the financial markets and what they're doing, and the other is the real economy. Because what's happening in the real economy is what matters. And I've read and read and read about this, Dave, and it's going to be one of three scenarios. Either the V-shaped scenario, where it goes down very steeply like we've seen, and it pops back up just as steeply on the other side and kind of gets back to where we used to be, and everybody lives happily ever after. Most people don't think that's going to happen. The U-shaped scenario is where it lasts about 2 years at the bottom and slowly, slowly, slowly over time starts to climb back up the other side. That one's a pretty likely scenario, about a two-year trough in the real economy. I'm not talking about what's happening in the financial markets, but the real economy. And then another scenario is the L-shape. A steep decline, take a right turn, stay flat for about a decade. That's what happened in Japan. And some people think the real economy may do an L shape, which is certainly not what we welcome. But you need to be prepared for that. But let's talk about going on the offense. Today, we need to recognize no matter what happens in the financial markets or the real economy, you can always have a great offensive strategy. And there's always ways to make more money and to improve your income. But you have to have a plan. So many of you have been writing and saying, what should I do? And the questions have been all on the defensive.
Sure.
But you're in a situation where you know now you've got to reduce your debt and do it more quickly. You've got to pay off your home more quickly. You maybe lost a significant amount in the market. Maybe you've got to maybe you realize now you can't retire as early as you wanted to, or you just need to build up your emergency savings fund. Well, today we're going to talk about strategies and real practical things you can do to start to make that happen.
Well, so whether you're in a short-term situation or one that may require some adjustments for a couple of years or more, we hope that our program today will encourage and inspire you. And if you have to step away from the broadcast, you can always hear it again by going to crown.org. Well, there's more from Money Life and Chuck Bentley coming up right after this.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about some ways to take the economic situation head on, and we're going to talk about ways to improve our situation, not just cut back, but maybe take a step forward. And certainly there's a group of people, Chuck, that have been hit directly with the downturn in the economy, and those people have lost their jobs. What are some things that people that are finding themselves unemployed in this market need to do to get themselves employed again?
Well, Dave, we went into this downturn with unemployment standing at about 6.1%, and I think throughout 2009 we're going to see that number grow. And I'm concerned it's going to be significant, Dave, and it would be unfair for me to say that I really think it's going to be a good, strong year of growth next year? I don't think so at all. And just about everybody would agree with me on that. So if you're one of those that has either lost your job or thinks it may happen, the first advice I would give you is to treat your job hunt just like your job. In other words, get after it. Get up every day and go to work just like you've got a report somewhere. Get in an office. Get somewhere where you can work all day long and don't give up. Prospect, research, make appointments, make calls. Just keep after it. Get online, use technology, whatever it takes to find opportunities, trends, openings, who's hiring, who's doing what, and get informed as quickly as possible. And then network. You know, Dave, that's why it's so important to be in community, to be in good relationship with family members and with your church, with people that you socialize with. Be in community and network. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to people at church. Talk to your family. Tell them exactly what you're looking for. Ask them to pray with you. Tell them what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, and ask them if they'll be kind of the arms and ears of your job search for you. And then take a career assessment and see if you're heading in the right direction. I strongly recommend that people use Career Direct. They can do that online. Find out exactly how God wired them. You know, it's interesting. Many times through pain, people discover that they were actually better at something else all along.
Sure.
And the pain causes them to move to that.
Yeah.
So this can be a great opportunity for people, but you've got to work hard at it. And don't let the enemy discourage you and say, there's no future for you. Maybe you had been in one field and it just gets wiped out. I mean, it just is gone. There's always going to be growth in some area. You just need to stay after it until you find it, because God will open a door for you.
Well, Chuck, what about the group that would fall into that 90%, maybe 90, 95% category? They're still employed, but they've got a specific situation that they really feel they need to improve their income, whether it's to reduce debt, whether it's to pay off their house early. What are some good options for people that just need to maybe to get a part-time job or an additional income?
Well, Dave, what drove this is today about 60% of households are two-income households. In other words, there's two breadwinners in the home. And I've been getting more and more questions from people who are saying, we're actually a three-income home and going to four, meaning both breadwinners have two jobs. And so what we've been researching, what are some real simple ways if you need to increase your income? Probably is always going to be some demand for these jobs. First would be something like a receptionist.
And one of the things that also, Chuck, as we go through these, none of these require additional schooling or get another degree. There would certainly be on the job training, but every one of these is a job that someone could walk into without any previous experience.
Well, and you also may hear something that we mentioned that just you have an affinity for it. Maybe you have a gift and you're just kind of attracted to it and you go, yeah, I could do that. So, you know, a receptionist. Some people may say, I don't like working with the public, but others may say, yeah, I could do that.
Well, sure. And a receptionist doesn't just answer phones. In many companies, they not only do filing and greeting of guests, but they may also do some clerical work as well. And their hours are often very flexible because of the nature of the kind of work that they do.
Well, and I know even here, we like to have people who can come in and work through the lunch hour to give a relief to the person who is full-time. So there's a lot of flexibility around that career. Typically, a receptionist earns about $11 an hour, and if you can get on with a medical office, you can make even more than that.
Sure. What's another one?
Child care workers. You know, there are some people they just love children. They're gifted at it. If you're able to supervise young children either in your own home or work at a child care center or one of these educational centers, after school centers, a good opportunity. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, and it typically shows up in the top 10 best part-time or new job opportunities in any economy. It shows up because that is a need that people have, especially if they're going to four incomes. And typically a child care worker will make around $8.50 an hour and potentially higher if you work at a child care facility.
And there are some people who specialize in this for just after school care, where they'll either go and pick up the kids, kind of keep them at home until their parents get home from work. All kinds of flexibility, and God may give you an idea of how to do that in a unique way and really meet some needs right there in their own neighborhood.
That's very true. What's another one?
Well, this is one where you typically find somebody who gets driven to get into shape, and then they realize they're pretty good at it, and they can teach others, and that's a fitness trainer or an aerobic instructor. I can't tell you how many people that do that started down the journey to get fit themselves, and they were successful at it. Mm-hmm. And they began to start to teach others. They either became private trainers, or they went to work in fitness centers or private gyms. Some people hire a private trainer to come to their home.
Sure.
And help them have the discipline and know the routines. It doesn't take a lot. Typically, people who are healthy themselves, who like to work out and get along well with other people, can make great fitness instructors.
And what kind of hours does this typically require?
Well, it's interesting because it's usually when other people aren't working, like early in the mornings when mm-hmm. people like to work out, or after they get off work. There's a big demand at gyms, particularly early hours and late hours. Some people work out over the lunch hour, mm-hmm. So there's some flexibility there.
And the average hourly wage in that industry is about $13 an hour.
Well, and Dave, I've seen people who are really good at it, and they earn about $30 to $50 an hour with
sure.
a private clientele. So it can be a real nice way to make a living.
Well, what's another one?
Demonstrators and product promoters. It's interesting because my kids love to go in the big box stores where they're giving out the samples.
Absolutely. That's dinner.
we've made a meal of that.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the days when it's got all the stuff they like, we'll go around two or three times.
Yeah.
And so there are people that are just, that they're hired to help generate awareness inside stores. They show products. They give out the samples. They go to all these weekend trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting specialization for people who are just looking for a way to make more money.
And Chuck, what's a typical hourly wage for that?
These people earn anywhere from $10 to $12 an hour.
Well, Chuck, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the opportunities that are out there. And then I'd like to shift gears, and let's talk about some new business opportunities that people may think about starting even in a down economy. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we are talking about offensive strategies and how to improve your bottom line even in this tough economic time. And Chuck, let's keep going. We've been listing several opportunities that kind of the common denominator is they don't require any further education, just on-the-job training and off they go.
Well, we did some research around these jobs that are pretty much readily available. There's always going to be a demand for them, and there's not a big barrier to entry. And this is for people who are just trying to pay off a credit card more quickly, increase their emergency savings fund, all those issues where we just want to help those people who are saying they're in a cash crunch. But another one, Dave, that our research department came up with is a clerical library assistant.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody that works at the library that helps customers with overdue items. Maybe they help with restocking, keep everything back in order. You know, my wife loves the library.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it. I mean, she would enjoy just being in the library. She liked to be around books. And hours for this job vary. In fact, Dave, some libraries are now staying open 24 hours a day, and there's good jobs on college campuses to be a library assistant.
And what kind of a wage can someone expect for a job like this?
Typically about $10 an hour.
Okay. What's another one?
Personal and home care aides. These are people who work in homes or in assisted living residences for elderly, the sick, or disabled patients, and they help them with daily tasks, running errands, and ensuring that their accommodations are just what they need.
And this is not a nursing job. This is really just someone who comes along to help assist the individual with normal daily activities.
Yeah, somewhat like a personal assistant, Dave. Mm-hmm. And so if you have the gift of helps, and you and I both know people who immediately go, you know what, I could do that.
Sure.
I do that anyway. I do it naturally. I can't help myself. I get around somebody that needs something picked up. I start picking it up. I want to help them get their meals ready, all those kind of things. As I say, it's not nursing. It's just a giftedness that some people have. They see a need and start to fill it.
Yeah.
And there's great flexibility in the hours.
Sure. What kind of a wage would someone expect to make in this kind of a job?
Our research showed about $8.50 an hour with higher pay for those with experience.
Well, the jobs that we've mentioned so far today will be up on crown.org, and you can take a look there as well. But, Chuck, I'd like to shift gears, and let's talk about maybe that person who maybe they're out of a job or they're really feeling this is a time that they need to change careers, and they're thinking about starting a business. Is that just insane to start a business during a down economy or not?
Well, actually not, Dave. As you and I both know, many great businesses were started during a down economy, and there's good reasons why they oftentimes succeed. There's fewer competitors.
Right.
There's a more available labor force. And sometimes there's new opportunities created that nobody else has seen that only happen during a downturn. And my recommendation, Dave, is when you get a job, you actually exchange your time for a secure wage. Typically, that's what a job is. Now, when you start a business, you exchange your time for a non-secure wage. But the upside is so much greater. And if you have the flexibility, if you have the self-discipline, if you have the giftedness to start a home-based business, I think it's a great idea and a strong strategy to go on the offense. Here's some of the ones that our research show are potential openings during a downtime. Number one is a green business. Anything that's eco-friendly, Dave, that, you know, everything is moving that way. And just look at it this way. If it's socially responsible and it conserves resources, it's probably a good business idea in this day and age.
Well, Chuck, what's an example of that kind of a business?
Well, I've got a friend who's going into what he calls green construction. And so the entire plan up front is to minimize the amount of trees that are cut down in order to build the building, to minimize the amount of water that's used to resource that commercial building, to minimize all the toxic chemicals that typically would have been used either in painting it or in preparing the building. And it's truly a great idea. And people are getting more and more used to that kind of thinking, and I think it's a good thing.
What's another good business idea in this current economy?
Well, eBay continues to be in demand, especially as more and more people are going to start looking for deals.
Mm-hmm.
We start to pull in the consumption a little bit, and we'll go online and look for places to buy things. I think eBay is a good source, Craigslist, places like that where you can sell items right out of your house and make a little extra money for the things that maybe have been laying around for a long time.
You know, a click right off of that would be like a thrift and consignment store. Now, that's more brick and mortar, but certainly there's a large demand for that again right now.
More and more
economy.
People are going to be buying used. So consignment stores are a good idea. You have to be careful that you have the right mix of product because you could be stuck holding the rent if you don't have good product in your store.
True.
I wouldn't go high-end on a consignment store, but something that was really cost-effective for items that people need, it's still a good idea, always has been.
What's another one?
Car repair shops. More and more people are going to keep driving the car they have, try to keep them in good shape. So rather than trading in and getting new ones, we're going to see the automotive repair business continue to grow.
You know, with those high gas prices, one of the other things that you're seeing a lot more of, we live near a college town, and these things are all over the place, and that's scooters.
Well, if you go outside the U.S., scooters have already become huge in most other countries. It's low cost to purchase and also low cost to operate and a high return on your gas mileage, a much higher gas mileage. So they make a lot of sense as long as you're not driving long distances and you're in a good weather area. But scooter sales are going to continue to grow, even though the gas prices are temporarily coming down. Probably still going to be a good long-term thing as we see the culture shift to more and more environmentally friendly forms of transportation.
Well, Chuck, we certainly talked about lots of different options between getting a job somewhere and starting your own business. But underneath that, there are some strong biblical principles that need to be brought to bear on this subject.
And I want to talk about that when we come back, Dave, because you have to be very careful when you set out with the goal to increase your income. There's some right ways to do that and some wrong ways. And I want to talk about both of those when we come back.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Well, welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck, as we've been talking today about developing an offensive strategy, we really need to temper that with some biblical foundations and keep our mooring appropriately within Scripture as we look to try and increase our bottom line.
Well, Dave, you know, we all have to have money. And I think it's appropriate to have a strategy to have more income, especially if you have a real need for that income. So we shouldn't sit on our hands, but we should also be careful that we're not seeking more income just to have more. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So we have to set our target on serving the Lord and advancing His kingdom while we go out after these other things, because the Bible warns us that whoever loves money never is satisfied with their income. So you could never make enough. It didn't matter if you had six jobs. Wouldn't matter if you had all the investments in the world that were going positive for you and having a great yield. You'd never be happy. You'd never be satisfied. But here's the wonderful balance. The Bible does tell us to do something. To go make it happen. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. In other words, if you heard this program today and you say, oh, that's nice, but you don't, you know, go get the extra job or make the effort to get the job or go start the business and take some risk, that you're just paralyzed by fear or doubt or discouragement, you will never reap. Nothing will ever happen. And it goes on to say in that very same chapter of Ecclesiastes 11, sow your seed in the morning and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. In other words, the Lord endorsed moonlighting. You know, get up early and try something, and before you go to bed, try something else. Well, I could just see somebody being a fitness trainer in the morning and coming home and being an eBay trader at night.
Sure.
And the Bible says that's okay, as long as your motive isn't just to have more money, that you're truly trying to solve a problem, you're trying to get your finances in order, you're trying to be financially free so that you can fulfill God's purposes for your life. I want to say this to where everybody understands it clearly. God's purpose for your life isn't to make money. Money is only a resource used to fulfill God's purposes for your life. And actually, money can be a form of bondage to keep you from fulfilling God's purposes for your life if you don't have enough to do it to be free, or you have so much that you're not free. So money is neutral, and you can pursue it and use it as long as the first thing on your heart when you get out of bed is to fulfill God's purposes, not your own. Then I would say you're in good territory to go for it and make something happen.
Well, thanks, Chuck. And if you joined us late, you can hear this program in its entirety by going to crown.org, and you can also sign up for the free podcast while you're there. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for listening to this edition of Money Life.